We would like to acknowledge that the land on which CITR operates and broadcast, and where many of you are listening to the program from, is the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people.
Hello and welcome to That Song from That Movie. I'm Movie Maverick Mike.
And I'm Logan the Extra. Today we're going to be talking about Hudson Hawk, and specifically the songs Mona Lisa by Nat King Cole, Swinging on a Star by Bing Crosby, and Side by Side by Kate Starr.
Hudson Hawk is a 1991 big concept movie that had all the right ingredients to be a hit, except it wasn't. Star Bruce Willis was riding the wave of blockbuster Die Hard, and he still carried the snarky New York character with him from TV series Moonlighting. Director Michael Lehman had a surprise hit with Heathers 2 years earlier, and screenwriter Steven D'Souza, who's still active today, had written hits like 48 Hours and Die Hard 2. But Hudson Hawk was a critical and financial disaster. Its slapstick comedy and wise guy antics conflicted with the conspiracy story and the divergent cast. However, it did offer an interesting musical plot device.
MRG Live is pleased to present the legendary DJ Shadow live at the Vogue Theater on January 23rd. Don't miss your chance to catch this pioneering producer performing music from his latest release, Action Adventure, alongside his rich 3-decade-long catalog, which includes collaborations with artists such as Run the Jewels, Nas, and De La Soul, among others. For tickets, head to admitone.com and search for DJ Shadow.
You're listening to Movie Maverick Mike and Logan the Extra on CITR 101.9 UBC.
So, Mike, you said we should review this movie. Why is that?
That sounds like a challenge. So, we're going to attempt something a little bit different this time. We're going to talk about three different songs, as Logan already mentioned. And this is a movie that was not a beloved movie, but like I said, it had an interesting plot device. And you haven't seen this movie, is that right?
No, I have not.
So we're going to start right into a song right off the bat. One song that's referenced in the movie is Mona Lisa, which was originally, made a hit by Nat King Cole. And it plays in the background briefly during one of the scenes. And I think it'll give you an idea about what we're talking about in this movie.
Men have named you. You're so like the lady with a mystic smile. Is it only 'cause you're lonely they have blamed you for that Mona Lisa strangeness in your smile? Do you smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there, and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real, Mona Lisa? Just a cold and lonely, lovely work of art. Do you smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real, Mona Lisa? Cold and lonely, lovely work of art. Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa.
You're listening to Movie Maverick Mike and Logan the Extra on 101.9 FM CRTR Radio. So Mike, what did you think of this movie?
So I tried to like this movie. Like I said, it was a high concept. It was a heist movie where Bruce Willis and his partner Danny Aiello are brought into some, he's an ex-spy, ex-CIA, ex-super agent guy, and they're brought into a heist in Italy. And so they did film it in Italy. This was one of those movies where they said, let's just get Bruce Willis, we'll get an up-and-coming director, we'll get a cool screenplay, we'll throw it all together, film part of it in the States, film part of it in Italy, and it'll be a hit. And it was not. It was an odd mix of some musical parts, some comedy. It was very snarky, very, I don't want to say mean-spirited, because that necessarily means it wasn't bad. And the plot was purposely convoluted. And yeah, it was just a messy movie.
So it sounds like Bruce Willis is playing kind of his normal character, I guess. He's usually got some smart aleck remarks and a bit of tough guy, man against the world kind of thing going. Is that true for this one?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they banked on that for this movie. The plot, it has something to do with a machine that turns lead into gold based on Leonardo da Vinci, and they have to steal something for something. The plot is important by the time you get to the end.
But not necessarily memorable, it sounds like.
The part I want to talk about, and we'll get right to it right away. So the reason why I picked Hudson Hawk, and I thought it might be interesting for our show, is that the plot device they have, I think, is really clever, and I'll ramble on about it because I think more movies should have this. And it's maybe the sole reason why we're featuring it here. And notice that neither Logan and I are saying that you should actually go watch this movie. But it's and like any heist movie, there's always a countdown, right? So you gotta get into the safe, and you have so much time to...
Yeah, you're on a timer. Everything has to be done on the right time, and it never is, but you know, that's the idea.
Yeah, and there's a countdown. So Bruce Willis and Danny Aiello, as these wise guy, New Yorker kind of guys, they're a fan of big band music, such as the one we just heard, the Mona Lisa song. Or shouldn't say a big band, the old-fashioned 50s, 60s movie music.
Mm-hmm. You're going to notice that theme throughout our songs here, if you didn't already recognize the names.
Yeah. And so they decide, well, for some reason, I can't remember the exact reason, but they couldn't use a watch. They didn't want to use a watch to time it. Because, you know, normally in movies, okay, synchronize your watches.
Yeah.
You've got 2 minutes before the alarm goes off or the guards, you know,
do their whatever. Loop earlier. Yeah.
So they said, okay, what we're going to do is it's going to take us 5 minutes and 35 seconds. And so they're both, well, that's the same amount of time as this song. And then they argue, well, is that the Hank Williams Jr. version, or is that the Elvis Presley version, or which version you want? Oh, it's this one. This one back and forth. And so the idea is that they say, okay, we're gonna separate. You go down that hall, one of the criminals, one of the heist guys. You go down the other hall, and we'll come back here in 5 minutes and 35 seconds. And we know, because we're such huge music fans, that if we start singing the song, we'll both finish in 4 minutes and 30 seconds or whatever it takes.
And it's actually kind of a smart idea to do that. From a, you know, in the movie perspective, it helps you time. I don't remember either why. Well, I haven't watched the movie, so I couldn't tell you why I can't do it. But the idea of, you know, we know how long the song is. I think most people could sing a song at a pretty consistent tempo, and like the right tempo. And then you can also know, oh, I just hit the bridge. Okay, I better keep moving. And it also helps the audience where there's something that's always going on. We kind of have a sense of the tempo. I guess if you don't know the song, you don't. But
yeah, it's cinematic in the voice of cinematic music. Because if I remember the scenes correctly, they start singing. And Bruce Willis, I'm not sure if you're aware, he made an album before. And so he's
before this movie?
Yeah, I think it was before this movie, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was when he was blowing up. I guess that's one thing I wanted to mention was that he had done Moonlighting, which was a hit. He had done Die Hard. He did an album. It was just everything. He was just a rocket. He was a funny guy. There was talk, well, he'll do stand-up comedian. It was just, you know, he could do whatever he wanted to at this point.
Including, I guess, record an album. I wouldn't have listed that as one of Bruce Willis's talents. But
No, I don't think it was that popular, and we'll save you the pain of having to do it here. But, I mean, so they would start the scene, and they would start singing. So the two songs we've already mentioned were Swinging on a Star, and the version we're going to use.
By Bing Crosby.
Right. And then Side by Side.
By K-Star.
Or we might be able to use the Paul Anka one. I forgot to mention that, because he was the most popular one, yeah. All
right.
And these are, so again, for old people like me, you can start, if I say Swinging on a Star, would you like to swing on a star? You'll know that song right away, right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Actually before my time, but yeah.
My generation, not so much, but just if someone says, do you want to swing on a star? Probably say yes, because the alternatives are being what? A mule, a fish, some...
Yeah, that's what the lyrics, yeah. If anyone would like to write in and tell us what the song Swinging on a Star is about. But so they would start singing, would you like to? Okay, I promise I would.
We'll cut that.
And then they'd start singing, and they'd each pick it up, and then it was as he's going around and knocking out guards and, you know, rappelling down the thing, he's still singing, which is kind of cool.
That's actually kind of cool, yeah.
And then eventually the soundtrack would take over, so the horns would come up, and then you'd hear the real voice
of Frank
Sinatra or whoever, you know, whatever version they would want to use, or Bing Crosby, and then he'd be singing along with it, which is really cool.
That's really smart.
I don't know if you could call it like a music video.
We've talked about before on this show about diegetic music and kind of how you can blend it to be in the movie but also outside the movie. We talked about that with Star Trek and the whatever that song was for then, Sabotage by Beastie Boys. And I think this is a really good example of it.
So that's exactly what it is. So let's get to the song, the first one, Swinging in a Star, and then we'll come back and talk about that as well.
Would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a mule? A mule is an animal with long, funny ears, kicks up at anything he hears.
His back is brawny, but his brain is weak. He's just plain stupid with a stubborn streak.
And by the way, if you hate to go to school, you may grow up to be a mule.
Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a pig?
A pig is an animal with dirt on his face. His shoes are a terrible disgrace. He has no manners when he eats his food. He's fat and lazy and extremely rude.
But if you don't care a feather or a fig, you may grow up to be a pig.
Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a fish?
A fish won't do anything but swim in a brook. He can't write his name or read a book. To fool the people is his only thought. And though he's slippery, he still gets caught.
But then if that sort of life is what you wish, you may grow up to be a fish. Kind of jumped up slippery fish, and all the monkeys aren't in the zoo.
Every day you meet quite a few,
so you see it's all up to you. You can be better than you are.
You could be swinging on a star.
Are you someone in recovery? Someone struggling with addiction or disordered eating? Or are you simply curious to explore your relationship to alcohol, drugs, and other types of addictive behaviors? The UBC Student Recovery Community is a safe space to connect with others. The SRC provides many types of support, such as drop-in hours, recovery meetings, one-on-one support, and even has a dedicated recovery lounge. The SRC supports all pathways of recovery, from harm reduction to abstinence and everything in between. You can learn more at recovery_UBC on Instagram. And you can also contact the community at src.recovery@ubc.ca. Remember, you're not alone.
I'm Movie Maverick Mike, and this is Logan the Extra, and you're listening to that song from that movie on CITR 101.9. So, Logan, what did you think of this song, Swinging on a Star?
You can tell kind of the era it's made just by listening to it, but I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's kind of, you know, I can't say emblematic of that era, but it's a good prototype. And it's kind of a weird song. It's kind of like a fun song, but also, like, you'd almost think it plays on Sesame Street or something like that.
That's 100%. I was thinking, I've never actually thought of the lyrics because it's always been in the back corner of my mind. And again, before my time. But when I was looking at the lyrics, it made me think it was just like a nursery rhyme or something like that.
Yeah.
You can't make sense of it, really.
Yeah, and it sounds like a couple times he talks about, being a mule or a fish or some other undesirable animals. And it seemed like there's supposed to be some moral lesson.
Yeah.
Like, don't be lazy or don't be, fishy or something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know exactly what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
And then those are the verses, and then he brings it back into the kind of big band chorus, I guess you could say.
One thing that was interesting about it too, and I think, again, this movie was so muddled. I remember I put in my notes, there was a couple times when I was watching this movie, and I was like, isn't Bruce Willis in this movie? Like, I had to remind myself too. But one thing that was interesting about it, if you know the song, and this is, again, a completely odd device, there was some tension. Because then when they get to the bridge or the second verse, you're like, okay, I think I know this song enough to know you've only got a few seconds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in a normal cinematic, you'd have a close-up of an LED clock or the hands moving across it and then be...
Or just 10. Someone saying, we're running out of time.
Yeah.
Get out of there quick or something like that.
Yeah, so you can have the clue. So for this one, and it's kind of funny because you're singing this pleasant song, but you're thinking, you can't make this song go any longer because you're running out of time, right?
So now that I think about it, it's a bit ironic. You're singing this kind of... lighthearted, I'm missing a word here, but kind of a goofy, who cares kind of a song, but suddenly, you know, it's the timer for you not to die kind of thing. So I wonder if they intentionally did that to play around with it.
I think so. And then the other cast member I want to talk about before we get to the next song is Danny Aiello. Had you ever heard of him before?
If
you
looked him up? The name rings a bell, but I couldn't tell you what he's from.
So was he spent like a lot of this movie, you were like, why did you have this decision? Like, you know, the songs, again, are great. But Danny Aiello, I was thinking for a younger generation, he was like the James Gandolfini of his time, the guy from The Sopranos.
Oh, okay. I know, kind of.
So he was not... he was a tough guy. You would see him in the movie, and he would pistol whip somebody, or he would be... Somebody's going to go out and, you know, he'd be the mafia guy. Someone's going to go and kill Saul. Don't worry, I'll take care of it, just like James Gandolfini. So when he was in this movie as a wise guy character... He had the toughness and the threatening part, but why he was asked to be comedic and why he was asked to bounce off Bruce Willis and every stunt that he's in when he's falling down a building, you're like, there's no way that's Danny Aiello. It's going to be some stuntman.
Was he a bit older for the filming of this movie then?
Yeah. But so, I mean, he was the mafia go-to guy, but he wasn't a comedian, he wasn't a singer, and he wasn't an action star. All the things that Bruce Willis was and he was sort of supposed to be.
Yeah, and I mean, it sounds like this movie was kind of built around Bruce Willis in a way that it was, like you said, he's a rising star. We're going to put him in his element, you know, something like Die Hard.
And there was one part of the movie, and again, we're not very careful with spoilers here, where I think his character, that Bruce Willis thinks that Danny Aiello, his longtime buddy from New York, has betrayed him. And I remember thinking, oh, that's why he's cast this movie. So it's believable That this he could be a tough guy, not some clown. But
yeah, that he can have a really serious moment. But they didn't try and play him as like a straight man for like, you know, sometimes you can have the one guy who's a jokester and one guy who's a straight man, but
I think they tried that and it didn't work. So but there's a bunch of other cast members in here as well that people will recognize if to look up. I won't bother listing them here because we won't have time to talk about them. Because I think, do we want to go on to the other song now?
Sure, yeah. So the next song we're going to talk about is Side by Side by, well, not originally by K-Star, but I believe that's the most popular recording of it.
I think the Paul Anka one was popular. This is one of those ones that, just like Mona Lisa, was recorded 20 times. So.
Oh, we ain't got a barrel of money. Maybe we're ragged and funny, but we'll travel alone, singing a song, side by side. Don't know what's coming tomorrow. Maybe it's trouble and sorrow, but we'll travel the road, sharing our load, side by side. Through all kinds of weather, what if the sky should fall? Just as long as we're together, it doesn't matter at all. Well, they've all had the quarrels and parted. We'll be the same as we started, just traveling along, singing a song, side by side. See that sun in the morning, peeking over the hill. I'll bet you're sure it always has, and it always will. Well, that's how I feel about someone, and somebody feels about me. We're sure in love with each other, and that's the way it's gonna be. Oh, we ain't got a barrel of money.
We ain't got money.
Maybe we're ragged and we're ragged and funny.
But we'll travel,
we'll travel, 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 side by side. Don't know what's coming tomorrow.
See the scene when they sing along to Side by Side, that song. What did you think of that part?
I think if you have the chance, you should go watch the scene online. I'll spoil it for you a bit to say they're kind of carrying around this like grenade launcher thing, launching explosives, taking down this building. And I don't know the plot of the movie, so I don't know why it's happening. But it's still great. They're singing this cheery song. You know, this song, it was first recorded in, like, 1920s, I want to say.
Yeah, We Ain't Got a Barrel of Money, that song.
Yeah, so, you know, they're just having a bit of fun and, blowing up this building, which is great, you know. And there's three people, well, to say three people sing this song is kind of stretching it, but at the end, the villain finishes off the song. Bruce Willis says, side by, and then the villain threatens him and says, side.
I think it's Danny Aiello, actually.
Oh, that is Danny Aiello. Yeah. Okay. Well, he's the other person who, Danny Aiello sings a good amount of this song. It's kind of a duet song, or like, a lot of times there's two voices singing. Does Danny Aiello sing anything else?
Like, no, not that I'm aware of. Like I said, he was kind of hired for his tough guy. He was the mafia tough guy in the movies, and, you know, It's arguable about whether Bruce Willis can sing as well. Although, like I said, he recorded an album and he certainly tried.
You know, I wonder if that's almost intentional, is that there's kind of two buddies singing the song feeling. If, you know, you had, I know, Celine Dion or Adele or, you know, I know, Sam Smith singing this, then it's like these really amazing voices. It wouldn't have the two guys just singing along to a song for fun kind of a feel.
Yeah, looking back at the parts where they're singing during the capers, I wish they would have been more... It was kind of goofy fun, right? At least the scene you saw. And I don't know why, but the songs they chose in the movie as a whole, it was, you know, meant to be quote-unquote fun, or at least funny. So I don't know. I think some of the Cracker Jack timing that you'd see in other movies with a countdown was not what they were trying to achieve here.
Yeah, you could have had, if you had some really thrilling music, like a James Bond-esque theme or something, you could really dial us into, you know, how scary this is or how they got to finish on time, but that's not what the movie wanted. Does anyone else sing in this cast? Or?
No, I mean, it's got some other interesting actors, character actors. Richard E. Grant is in this one, and if you look online, he's kind of disowned this movie. David Caruso, who was briefly a star, CSI stars, some other TV show, he was active there. James Coburn, who plays the CIA handler of Bruce Willis's character, he was a tough guy in lots of movies and kind of played this like TV version of James Bond. He was a Cold War agent, so he kind of riffs on that character. He's one of those actors when he appears on screen in this movie, like, oh yeah, that tough spy guy. And so when he plays a version of that and says, he says, God, I miss the Cold War, which is funny. But so you could go, oh, and that's right, yeah, James McCoburn did make a lot of those movies, World War II movies and the like.
So he's kind of playing off the fact that you know what his last role is, I guess.
Yeah, and I think, you know, he's kind of that, graven character. And it's kind of like, I've always said, when Clint Eastwood is in a movie and he's, you know, 300 years old, he threatens to beat somebody up, in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember when Clint Eastwood beat up that guy as this cop or this cowboy or something like that, so... He carries that along with him. So,
isn't there also the woman from Groundhog's Day? Is I think how I know her.
Oh yeah, that's right, Annie McDowell. Yeah, yeah, she's got an interesting story. I was reading about her. She was a model turned actress, and her first turn was in Sex, Lies, and Videotape, which they said was a bit of a risk because she hadn't had a lot of acting credits. But yeah, she was in Groundhog Day. This one, Hudson Hawk, and Four Weddings and a Funeral was another film.
Right.
Hey there! Do you like sweet and sentimental stories and songs?
Do you enjoy a pleasant chat and a giggle with pals? Then you're going to love our show, Love Notes, here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Every week, a new guest selects a great love of their life, a sibling, a romantic partner, a best friend, and we get to make a show about the stories and songs that make up their love.
Join us on this journey for the ears and the heart every other Tuesday at 10 a.m.
You're listening to That Song from That Movie on 101.9 FM CITR Radio. So, Mike, what are your final thoughts on the movie?
So, again, this is a movie that we kind of jammed in here because the songs are great. The plot device that they're using is great. But unlike the other ones we've done to date, I wouldn't necessarily recommend to see this one. Are there any movies that we've done before, till now, that we said don't watch?
Well, we were a bit... if you were listening to our Barbie special, we said you should watch it, not necessarily because it's good, but because it's a pop culture phenomenon.
Yeah.
But, no, I think we've enjoyed most of the movies we've talked about, I guess.
Because my final thought is that when I was researching this, based on, you know, having a look at it, one of the first questions on Google was... Is Hudson Hawk a comedy? And I thought, if you have to ask.
Well, maybe people are looking it up and see a Bruce Willis movie and they don't know. But...
No, for sure, yeah. But I mean, if that's the first thing, if you're not really sure, like, no one's going to say, are the Three Stooges funny? Is this Bugs Bunny a comedy?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of illustrates that the movie was that it's not a comedy, it's not an action movie, or it's not really good at either of them.
You've been listening to That Song from That Movie on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Movie Maverick Mike, and you can find me under that name on Facebook and Instagram.
I'm Logan the Extra, and you can find a recording of this episode and all of our episodes on CITR.ca. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you later.